1 Samuel chapter 17, as we continue down this vein of going through the book of 1 Samuel and hearing from God, I'm just going to focus in on verse number 32 in the Bible. It says, David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." And then I want you to skip over to verse number 51. "And David ran and stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword and drew it from the sheath. After he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword." Just for a few moments, I want to talk about cutting the head off your giant. Cutting the head off your giant. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you give us a word that will help us to be able to not only knock our giants down, but cut the head off of it. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated in the beauty of holiness. I want to thank God for you who have come out this morning, and for those of you who are listening, we hope and pray that this word will encourage your hearts and your minds. Last week we talked about David being anointed as king. Although he is anointed as king, he does not actually take the office until some 7 years later. But during this time, he is actually being mentored or actually serving Saul, the current king. Saul is now out fighting. He's out in a battle. He's out in a war. He's out fighting something that is bigger than him. And I think that there are a lot of individuals who are in this room today, and those of you who may be listening, that are fighting some things that are bigger than you. They cause, you are fighting them, you are raising them, you are working with them, you are fighting against something that is bigger than you. And in this battle, all of a sudden, a man comes out, and he's 10 and a half feet tall. 10 and a half feet tall. Somebody shout, "That's tall." Yeah. And he's not no lanky man, for the Bible talks about him coming out with armor that weighs thousands, hundreds of pounds. And so here is this tall, huge, strong, burly man, and they look at him, and the Bible says they retreat. The giants represent anything that is going to cause you to retreat. There are many things that we have, like fear and anxiety, unrecognizable events that cause us to really and truly retreat. Overwhelming circumstances that trigger our emotions and cause us to respond not in fight mode, but in flight mode. Fear that stiffens your muscles and signals you to avoid danger, and you have these images flashing through your mind of failure. These giants, our dread, our terror, our worry, our anxiety, our panic, our horror. And I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but sometimes when we're facing something things that are bigger than us, we'd rather run than to fight. I don't know about you, but I'm here to serve notice on you. Anything 10 and a half feet tall, I don't know if I would have the wherewithal in my mind to even approach such a fight. But here is an army of people looking at one thing. An army of people. I need y'all to get that. An army of people looking at one man, and they all run. That's the issue that our giants do to us. There are a lot of individuals who for some reason don't feel that even if we were to unite together, we would win. I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but I found out that where there is unity, there is strength. But how can we unite together and fight when we're all uniting together in fear? We're running away from everything together. Can you imagine if we put that same amount of energy into fighting the good fight of faith that we would win? Can you imagine if we put that same type of energy in fighting for our children that we would win? Do you think that if we put that same type of energy in fighting instead of fleeing that we would be able to conquer anything? Then there's our other character. Yes, he's anointed king, but he's still not in position. And matter of fact, the position he is in is pretty much just an errand boy. He was up there with Saul, and then he went back to go tend the sheep. And now Dad sends him with some parched corn and a couple of loaves of bread. And matter of fact, let's add a little cheese to it. And I need you to go and take this and just go check on your brothers. And when he gets there, he finds them all hiding. They're scared of this 10.5 feet tall man. All of them are hiding. And David walks up and why y'all hiding? Why are y'all hiding? We talking an army of at least 1,000 people hiding from one man. Y'all not hearing what I'm saying. Why are you hiding? And all of a sudden Goliath comes out and he taunts them for 40 days. And he comes out this one day taunting them, and David now is getting ready to step in to whom God ordained him to be, because he is a man after God's own heart. And I'm here to let you know that when you have a heart for God, a heart after God, anything that comes against him, you get mad. Amen. There is nothing like a righteous anger. There is nothing like something boiling up inside of you because the one you love is under attack or being defiled. It is something about it, ladies and gentlemen. You may beat your kids, but don't let nobody else hurt your kids, because all of a sudden you coming out swinging and you bringing cousin and them and everybody else to whoop some tail. Come on, talk back to me. Because there's something about a righteous anger. He has a righteous anger, and he says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Who is this? And we have to go again. If God is for you, who can be against you? When you greater is he that's within me than ye that is in the world. I don't care how big you are, how tall you are, how fat you are, how muscular you are. I don't care how much armor you got on. I don't care what you got. If God is for me, you going down. Yeah. Here's the giant taunting them. They're scared. But here is a person who seemingly on the outside, outwardly, has some things working against him. The first thing that's working against him is his stature. I'm sorry to tell you, David was not a big man. He was a little pretty boy. Yeah, the Bible says that he was small in stature and he was very handsome. Yes, he was good looking, but he wasn't buff. Come on, talk back to me here. He wasn't about to knock anything down. As a matter of fact, when you looked at him, you would say, no, you can't do much of anything. Why? We know that because, you know, his brother even looked at him like, what you talking all this nonsense for? What are you going to do? Matter of fact, when Saul heard that he was willing to fight, Saul said, little boy, what you got ain't working for you. But how many know what looks good, what's going on the outside ain't got nothing to do with what's going on the inside? I know that's right. The next thing his problem was his age. He was a young boy, and of course, because they say that he is young, they felt that of course he wasn't old enough to really fight. So they gave him menial tasks like tending to the sheep. They gave him menial tasks like running back and forth from the battlefield to the shepherd field, to sheep field. And so I'm sometimes we discount folks because of their age. But I found this out. You can learn something from a dummy, and there are a lot of old fools. Yeah, so his age doesn't matter. But here's another thing that's not working for him, his experience. Saul says to him, David, you're inexperienced in this. You've never fought in a battle. You don't know this. This Goliath has much experience in fighting, and you have never fought. But how many know that God prepares you for every battle before you ever get into it? He had prepared him while tending the sheep, because David recounts the time when lions came to attack the sheep and grab the sheep, and he smote them and killed them and left their carcasses out there to rot. He recalls the time when God prepared him when a bear came by, but he was able to protect those sheep. God has prepared you for a time that when he's ready to use you for his glory, only thing you've got to do is say, I'll go wherever you send me. And the last thing that's a problem with David is he's unequipped. At least that's what they think. Just because he doesn't have any armor, just because he doesn't have a sword, just because he doesn't have what everybody else has, they feel that he is inadequately equipped. And some of us, even here today, we are facing certain giants, and we're actually scouring in fear because we feel that we're inadequately equipped. But let me tell you something. If God called you, just go, and he'll fight the battle for you. Only thing you have to do is recognize that if you have God, you have more than enough. I know that they said that you're inadequately equipped, but God said, I have made you fearfully. I've wonderfully made you. I have molded you and shaped you in my image. I have blew the breath of life into you, and you became a living soul. I have not only made you, but I've appointed you. I have anointed you. And if I have called you, it don't matter what anybody think or say about it, I got your back. And I know there are some people that are feeling inadequate because they don't have the education, or they're feeling inadequate because of their past. But don't let your past interrupt what your promise is. I don't care what you've done in the past. God, wipe that slate clean, and you can press forward. But this is one thing he's got working for him, and that is he has a heart for God. And many of us don't even realize that the minute that you have a heart for something, you can accomplish just about anything. Matter of fact, have you ever wondered how it is that some people can do things much, much easier than other people do it? I always wondered, you know, if you, you know, a person is struggling. You know, I had this occasion one time where, I was struggling to open up a jar. And I'm just trying to get this jar open. This thing, this cap won't turn. And then you hand it over to somebody else and they just pop it open. Anybody ever gone through that? You know? And you're wondering, because apparently they knew something that I didn't know. And the most embarrassing thing about it was, usually it was a female. Come on. Well, I'm inexperienced in the kitchen. All right, I'm not used to doing all of that stuff. So I'm trying to do it the manly way. I'm trying to do it off of my muscles and by my strength. But the little sister had a little logic to it. Y'all not hearing what I am saying? There has to be a time in your life that when you have a heart for something, you put your mind to it. Because what a man thinketh, so is he. If you think you're a failure, you're always be a failure. If you think that you're down in the dumps with the blues, trust me, you will be down there, and anything that comes at you will always seem like a giant. But Jesus took the blind man, told him to wash again, so you can see that that tree ain't no giant. And if you got the faith, you can tell that tree to get out of your way. So watch this. Little boy is standing there with Saul's armor on. And how many know you can't work with other people's stuff? There are a lot of people who are just nothing more than carbon copies of great originals instead of being the unique person that God made you to be. You can't do it like everybody else does it. You can't sing it like everybody else sing it. You know, I ain't Paul Morton, ain't trying to be Paul Morton. I need to be John Young. You understand? I can't play like certain other people. I have to play what God has given me. I can't preach like other people preach. I have to preach it in the unique way that God has given me. I don't do things like everybody else does. I got my own way of doing things. You know, it's amazing, ladies and gentlemen. Some people can follow a recipe and still make a disaster. But then there's somebody who just walk in the kitchen with no recipe at all and make something slamming. How is it? Why? Because they're walking in the uniqueness and in the gift that God has given them. And Saul puts on his heavy equipment to the point where David can't move. I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but if when people start putting stuff on you, it will weigh you down. They're putting their stuff on you, their problems on you, their protection on you, their fear on you, their anxiety on you. They think that it needs to be done one way, but baby, let me tell you something. God had prepared you out in the field. God had prepared you out there with those sheep. God had prepared you in the menial tasks that you were doing, and you can only use what you got. David said, I can't fight like this. I can't fight like this. Get this mess off of me. And ladies and gentlemen, if you are facing a giant right now, you need to take off everything and use what you got. God has already given you a provision for your vision. God has already given you the resources necessary to accomplish the task. He has already given you the skill set to do whatever He has ordained for you to do it. But you need to take off everything that people put on you, because the things that people put on you are nothing but weighing you down. They're weighing you down when they talk about you. They're weighing you down when they're looking at you and feeling that you're inadequately equipped. They are weighing you down because they keep bringing up your past and they don't know that God has prepared a promised future for you. They keep weighing you down because they have all of these things that are working against you, but you've got one great thing working for you, and that's God Almighty and God all by himself. There are many people who are weighed down because they feel that I don't fit in where I'm supposed to. You're not supposed to fit in, dummy. You're an original. You're supposed to do what God has told you to do. He takes off all of that stuff and he goes and grabs him some stones and he grabs his sling. How many know that the stuff you got is bad all by itself? Hey, the stuff you got is all bad by yourself. You know, every time I think about this church, I'll be saying, you know what? We's a little piece of leather, but we well put together. You know, I sit back and I think about it. Hey, how this small congregation can do great things in a small package. We just picked up a stone and a sling. The whole army left. Y'all not hearing what I'm saying. But where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst of. Oh, God, I felt that in my sanctified toe. You got to get that in your spirit that sometimes you don't need everything that they got. You just use what God gave you. He says, you know what? I got my rock. I got my sling. Let me go on out here and fight this uncircumcised Philistine. Now you have to understand, this is a young boy with some good wisdom, real good wisdom. Here come Goliath coming out at him, and before Goliath could even grab anything, David had already threw something at him. You know, one of the most dumbest things I think most people do, and especially in the age of Facebook and Twitter, is tell your enemies when you're going to attack. That's the most, I'm coming to kick your butt. Come on. Now you just told me what you finna do, so I'm getting ready to prepare myself for what we're getting ready to go down. Come on. But guess what? If I don't say nothing, just start swinging, y'all not hearing what I'm saying, you going down. There are so many individuals right now who just talk too much. Let folks know your strategy. Let folks know what you finna. Some things you need to keep to yourself. When you coming out swinging. You ain't cussing, you ain't fussing. Matter of fact, you ain't mad. You just got to do what you got to do. And many of us just don't even realize, you know, all of that talking is not going to get you anywhere but whooped. Amen, somebody. Amen. You know, I wish somebody would take that Twitter account away from Donald Trump. You don't tell your enemy what you got. You gonna attack? Just attack. You had enough. You had enough. And guess what? That little boy didn't say a word. Not one word. He just took his sling and threw it. Now you might. He had five stones, but he only needed one. That rock. And you have to understand the armor of that day, because the armor of that day was such that they were covered from head to toe. There was just enough room for them to see out of, and which exposed the eyes as well as the forehead. That was it. Everything else was covered. So here is this one rock thrown sporadically, instantaneously, and guides right straight into his forehead. And this 10.5-foot giant comes tumbling down. He hits the ground, boom. But David said, that's not good enough. Somebody needs to shout, that's not good enough. See, many of us right now, you know, the reason why we're still fighting the same Philistines and still fighting the same problems and fighting the same fears and situations is because you got satisfied and started shouting at the wrong time. Amen. Yeah. Just because the giant came down don't mean he may get back up. Come on. Yeah. You don't know. You have the faintest clue if this thing is unconscious or if it's dead. You don't have the faintest clue whether it can get up or if it's knocked down for real. You don't even know whether he's just playing you so that you can get defeated. Sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, you don't shout just because it got knocked down. You still got work to do, because any snake that's going to go down, it needs its head cut off. And how many of us are still dealing with stuff that you haven't cut the head off of yet? And it's Jay, and you knocked it down a couple of times. You won it in court. Yeah. You had them, got them told off. Matter of fact, cutting the number went over there and kicked their butt. But guess what? They still coming back at you. How many of you have knocked down some situations at your job only for them things to get back up again? How many times have you knocked down some things that were going on in your family, but it's still cropping up again? Now, how many times have you knocked down a couple of bills, but guess what? You got 10 more growing at you. Sometimes you need to cut it off. David says, you know what? Knocking down is not good enough. I know I'm small. I know I'm young. I know I'm inexperienced. I know I'm adequately equipped. But guess what? This thing is getting ready to lose its head. And to make matters better or worse for the enemy, I'm going to use their own stuff. See, you got to get this, ladies and gentlemen. Sometimes it's not your stuff that you need to cut their heads off with. You need their own stuff. You know, many people talk. If you are swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath, you will find out everybody's weakness. You will know exactly what's going on in their heart, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And if you could just keep your emotions in check, come on. Keep your emotions in check. You will get the wisdom necessary to guide you to cut the head off of every giant in your life. I don't care what they said, how they think about you, how they feel about you. Guess what? That's their problem, not yours. Stop internalizing all those things and use the enemy's weapon to cut its own head off. David walked over there to him, grabbed his sword, and cut his head off. Let me tell you something. Sometimes the enemy has the weapon you need to cut off every problem in your life. And guess what? If he said he was going to make your enemies your footstools, guess what? It's time for you to step up to the plate and get everything that God has for you. He cuts his head off. The Bible says, Saul watched him. He's seen this little boy on many occasions, but he didn't even know who he was. Guess what? There's a lot of people who don't know what they're messing with. Oh, yeah. Sometimes they'll see you and they'll look over you. They'll see you and they think that you're inadequate. They'll see you and they think you're inexperienced. They'll see you and they see you as nothing. But guess what? While they're cowering in fear, you're walking by faith and not by sight. You're standing on the word of God and standing on his promise, and you will let nothing separate you from the love of God. And because I love him, I'm going to fight for him. I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. And it don't matter what you think or what you say. That is your problem, not mine. I know what my problem is that I love God that much that I'm going to cut the head off of every giant in my life. And I don't know who I'm preaching this for here this this morning, but you got some giants that you just need to cut the head off of once and for all. For the Bible says that at once that head got cut off, here's David walking around with this old big 10, he had to be at least a 40 pound head, he walking around with this head as a trophy to let everybody know that greater is he that's within me than ye that is in the world. Why is he walking around with that head? That head is his testimony of the victory that God gave him. And that's your testimony, that you should have been dead. You were inadequate. You were too young. You were too inexperienced. But God equipped you with everything you needed to defeat every giant in your life. Is there anybody in here who has a victory and got a testimony? I'm reminded of a story about a little girl whose mom was very poor. She scrapped up enough change to send her daughter off to school. Little girl's in college now. And because she does not have nice clothes, because she does not have the latest hairstyle, because she's not hip like they are, everybody teased her. And she began to feel inadequate, became very insecure. And one day while sitting outside, this little girl began to write her mom a letter saying, "Mom, I don't fit in here. I feel inadequate. I don't fit here. I'm going to leave school and quit school and just come back home." And the mom looked at the letter, and she looked at the letter, and she read the letter, and she says, "You know, I need to go and check on my baby." And so the mom packed her little bag, and she went over to the refrigerator, and she went down into the vegetable bin, and she grabbed something out of it and put it in a bag, and she headed on out to the school. And here is this little girl sitting up under a tree, and she looks up, and here is her mom coming. The mom came, but mom wasn't dressed very, very well, and she looked, you know, a little hand-me-down, raggedy, ain't your mama-ish. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And she sits down next to her daughter, and she hugs her daughter, and they embrace, and all of a sudden, mom reaches in to her bag, and she pulls out a brown paper bag, and she says, "Baby, I brought you something." And so the little girl, with a tear in her eye, said, "Thank you, Mom." And figuring it was a piece of fruit, she reaches down into the bag, and when she grabs the round thing in the bag and pulls it out, it's an onion. Little kids around her began to laugh. "Your mama drove all the way up here to give you an onion." They're laughing. They're rolling. They are rolling. They are rolling because mama brought her an onion. Mama looked up and said to her, "I may not have any college education, but if you sit down, I'm going to get ready to teach you something." She said, "You know, this onion is strong all by itself. Because you can't have a good soup without an onion. You can't have a good salad without an onion. You can't get good seasoning without this onion. And you know, I've never seen anybody walk down the aisle with a bouquet of onions. I've never seen anyone walk up to their love and give them a bouquet of onions. And so the onion, although it's useful in one sense, it's inadequate in other areas. But this is one thing about an onion. I've never seen one cry, but it makes a whole lot of people cry. The onion is strong on its own. It holds its own weight. It does what it has to do. It may not be the most celebrated thing, but guess what? After you taste it, you need to mask it over, because guess what? Anybody that's ever been around somebody that ate some onions know that onions are strong. Girl, you're not talking back to me here. Yeah. And the stronger it is, the more powerful it is, the more robust and flavorful it becomes. Just because it's not the celebrated thing does not mean it's not the strongest thing, because the strongest thing is not what is celebrated, but what's under the skin. I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but what is God saying to us here today? He's saying, in order for you to really and truly cut off your giant, cut the head off your giant, you need to get out of the flesh and get under your skin. Something needs to get under that skin. David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He was like, I'm getting ready to stand on your toes, look up your nose. I'm getting ready to knock you out. You getting ready to go down. It's not in my name, it's in the Lord's name. But guess what? That had nothing to do with David. That had everything to do with his heart. And when you have a heart for something, guess what? You will stand strong, you will stand tall, you will do what you have to do, what you have to do with what you got. And it doesn't matter who says anything, God has the final say. And so now, what are you going to do about your giant? What are you about to do with your giant? What are you going to do with your fear? What are you going to do with your anxiety? What are you going to do with these overwhelming circumstances? Are you going to keep knocking them down? Or are you going to cut the head off of it? There's a big difference. There's a big difference. Because today is the day that you get like Popeye. This is all I can stands. I can't stands no more. And guess what? It may be bigger than me. It may be badder than me. It may be stronger than me. But guess what? I got something in my back pocket. What did Popeye always have with him? He had a can of spinach. And guess what? The only thing you have to do is open up a can yourself. We talking about the word of God here. I know your mind went, yeah. You need to open up that can so that you can let the world know that greater is he that's in you than ye that is in the world. Come on, and let's give God a praise in this place. Today is that day that you cut the head off of your giant. Today is that day that you say to yourself, I am not going to stand in the group that is fearful, but I'm going to stand in the group that is faithful. There's a big difference in being sitting in fear. That is, you know, and that is one of the reasons, ladies and gentlemen, why so many churches are ingrown fellowships, because they're afraid to go ye therefore and teach all nations. They're afraid to step out because they are afraid of what people are going to think about them or say about them. Why we're not winning as many souls for Christ as we should, because we're actually afraid to talk to those individuals about the love of Jesus. We're just like Saul, cowering behind something that seemingly seems strong but is very weak. Because let me tell you something, anything that is in sin is weak, but anything that is in faith is strong. And so we have to stand boldly with the word of God, knowing that whatever he ordains us to do, we face that giant head on. Knocking the giant down, but then cutting his head off. Some of us just need to see the We are adequate. You need to love yourself. And when you begin to love yourself, you become confident in who you are. Because you're confident in whom you are and whose you are. And that's God.